everyone. Welcome to the next episode of the Beach Court Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Ridgway, joined here by Parker Greenwald, Max Corcoran. Today, we're going to break down the recent results from the local cups and the international regionals. Some of us got some cup wins recently. Some of us got some points. Some of us played some proxies in our deck when we didn't know we were doing that. So interesting topics we have for you today. But first, I want to take a moment to thank everyone for your support last episode. After interviewing Nick Moffitt and Adam Reinhart, the support was overwhelmingly positive, and I really appreciate everyone's support. And as a thank you, we're doing a giveaway this episode. This hat that I'm wearing, not this exact one, but I have an extra. We're going to be giving away a World's Yokohama exclusive hat. It's got a nice little Pikachu on it and a little Yokohama logo. To enter, you need to be subscribed to the YouTube channel, follow on Twitter, and retweet the post that we will post with this episode.
Yeah, the day this goes up, we'll be posting a special giveaway tweet about it. So make sure you go and do that. And thanks again to everyone so much for your support this last episode.
Yeah, so awesome. Thanks for all the support again. Let's jump into it. Tell us, how's it been with you guys lately locally and grinding for points and trying to, get 600?
I mean, you alluded to it. We got to talk about the proxy situation for Parker. Mainly because it's funny, and also because I'm the reason why he had to play the proxy.
So basically, for our regular Thursday locals, I decided, hey, I never play Rapid Strike. Let me just play it. And I just took it out of my deck box after, not touching it for probably months. And I start round one. I draw my seven. I look at my hand. There's a Fusion Strike Meloetta in my hand. And it's literally my only Pokemon. So I'm like, all right. So I go, I attach pass. And I somehow won that game. Yeah, I played Meloetta from Fusion Strike instead of Medicham because Maddox wanted to try a Lost Box deck with Medicham in it months and months ago.
Meowscarada and Meowscarada.
Or Masquerada. Yeah, that's right. And I just never got it back. So I just had that, proxy in there.
Well, I'll have I went 3-2 at that locals, so it was well worth it.
It was definitely well worth it.
I mean, Parker, didn't you go like 4-0?
Yeah, I went 4-0-1. I drew the last round and I don't know.
Yeah, he won locals with Meloetta and 59 other cards.
that is correct.
I mean, Maddox, he loves his Meloettas around here. So
yeah, I do love my Meloettas, but I haven't been playing them much lately. We were talking about some of the local stuff that we did.
Yeah.
So I actually won a challenge last week with Chen Pao. So I've been playing it a little bit. Finally, copied Chris, a local player who's been tearing up with Chen Pao. I copied most of his list, and actually it ran better than my list ever did, so we used that to take home the challenge, and then had a cup win with Maridon. So I haven't really touched a Mew deck in a little while. I had it ready to go a few times throughout the week, but ultimately decided on some other decks and it worked out.
Yeah, you were playing Palkia and your Chen Pao, right?
Yes, I was. I was Man, I like when Chen Pao first came out, I was super on the Arceus train, looking a lot like Jared Grimes' list from NAIC and things like that, basing it off of that and saying, oh, Arceus is better. And then after that, saying, oh, no Arceus, no Vs at all. And then just saying, actually, no, we didn't Palkia. We need something. So,
I mean, Palkia is just so good early in a lot of decks. And
that's attacker.
Yeah, I mean, that same locals that Parker, played Meloetta, I was playing Palkia Charizard, trying that out. And Palkia Charizard is just very strong as well, because you can just attack a Palkia early, fixes all your numbers. You can hit 260, on a V early, and then as they start taking knockouts, your Charizard gets stronger. It's Palkia, I think, just belongs in any deck that has water in it, or any deck that should have fire only. It's really, really strong deck. So congrats to Maddox, for winning a cup this weekend with Maridon and winning a challenge last week with Chen Pao. Which one's better, blue or yellow?
I gotta go yellow. I mean, just the way that Maridon can get accelerated, that first turn attack threat is hitting so hard. You know, got to give a shout out to Adam Reinhardt, who was on the podcast last time, our Maraud on Master, as well as, you know, like my list was, you know, based closely off Jesse Parker's list as well, and just kind of like taking the directions that they went with it. I mean, just the list is really solid, and, you know, it's someone who's played a lot of Fusion Mew. It's that turn one attack potential just feels easier with Maraudon. Right, you're just playing a different card instead of your supporter. It's a trainer, and you say, okay, hey, if I miss my generator, just let me just get a second one. So just some insane potential there to hit hard early, and overall just a really consistent deck. Like, you know, that's what I'm finding, a lot of these decks that just get set up and play the game consistently is just, you know, unmatched in these games.
Yeah, I mean, Turbo's so fast. I played Turbo to that same cup that you won. I made top four. It was five rounds. I went 4-0 in Swiss, and then scooped to you in the final round of Swiss to get you in the cut. And that deck is just, it's so good when you play really well, and it rewards, you know, good play. But even against, I played Maraudon, the other Maraudon player in top four. Even against Maraudon, when they're firing on all cylinders, and when I tell you, he hit two off of every single generator. Every single game except for game three, when I like basically bricked in my mind, it's just hard to beat. Like, you feel like you can never Dragonite without like instantly getting KO'd. And if they get the charm on something when they're KO'ing your Dragonite, it's like, what do you do next turn? Like, you're not pulling off back to back Dragonites.
Yeah. I mean, I know they've talked about like the Kyogre matchup being so good for Maraudon, right? Which we saw at Pittsburgh. But you know, when you look back at, you know, right, Andrew Mahone's run with Maraudon at Worlds, for example, you know, he talked about, hey, I've switched carts and I have, you know, charms. Like, I'm able to work around a lot of the Lost Box stuff. It seemed to matter there. And you're talking about the experience in top four. It was funny because we're both playing the games. There are two Maraudons there and they both made top four on different sides of the bracket. Meanwhile, Nick, right, local player, has been playing Maraudon a lot. He's hitting all of his generators, and I played like five generators and hit three energy in the first two games. So it was just like,
you know, thankfully you're playing against Lugia and it didn't really matter.
Yeah, had exactly, like, I was able to just, you know, attack with Raikou type thing. But just even like that, that's that, you know, run hot or don't run hot nature of the deck. Yeah, so
I didn't expect a lot of turbo at that cup, so I played double boss in my list instead of Roxanne. And I caught a lot of people off guard. You know, you lost on that first one. They're like, they feel like they're never getting bossed. And, you know, they kind of relax a little bit. So double boss is good every now and then. And, you know, turbo's good. Parker, you played Giratina to a cup recently, got top eight.
I did. Yeah. It was down in Gainesville. Had a lot of very rough games that, you know, the deck's very good. I was able to crawl back into, you know, wins. In games that I was severely behind, I got donked by an Inteleon V turn one.
Yeah,
I got
the
turn one Ultra Ball Melanie Rapid Strike energy on my Sableye pass. And then my top cut games were just turn one got my Cramorant donked, and game two I played Roxanne before I played Corvus. So it was
that's not the way to win.
Not the way to win. However, if I had literally one more Sableye attack, I could have won that game on a bench to locked turbo player.
Yeah, man.
All four comfies and three switch carts on the first turn.
That cup, and it's just PSA to anyone, if you pick up any Lost Box deck, do not fill your bench without a Sableye on your bench.
Or keep doing so against me.
The amount of players that bench lock themselves, like, the last two cups, I'm like, guys, you know, and then they just don't get punished because we don't draw well sometimes, and that happens. But, you know, speaking of Rapid Strike donking you, Rapid Strike won another tournament out in Barcelona. Congratulations, Francisco Santiago. Taking a look at his list, I don't see anything spicy, really. He's playing the Spirit Tomb Giacomo combo. You know, this is a unique list. It's not anyone else has played with yet, at least according to Limitless. What do you guys think about the list and think about top eight of Barcelona?
I think it's super solid. There's always a heated debate on which is better into the Mew matchup, whether it's the Spiritomb Giacomo or the, you know, double Drapion they used to run. I'm personally on the side of one Drapion, as you can like hidden in Genesex and then Yoga Loop and like finish the game like that. But like, I think just the one is good enough in my opinion. But you know, the Spear Tomb Giacomo really cripples because they also use the energies to attack, so like you really cripple a new player that way.
Does the Spirit Tomb help the Lugia matchup enough to make Spirit Tomb better than Drapion?
Well, maybe it might. I mean, people just have Burnett every time against
But like sometimes you got Lumineon for it, right? Or for research.
Sometimes you have to, yeah.
I mean, the amount of times I look over at a Lugia player and like turn two going first, you know, they're Lumineon for something.
Yep.
Right? I mean, those hands are usually always kind of bricky.
Yeah, I feel like they're going for Lumineon so often. I mean, right, as the Mew player, I prefer not double Drapion and prefer this Giacomo Spirit Tomb, right? Maybe not as good against Mew, but I think the fact that it's, right, it's really just that, you know, you have two spots in your deck and how are you going to counter two matchups that are really bad for you, Lugia and Mew. I think the Spirit Tomb and Giacomo at least gives you something to help both. But some people have even said, I was talking with a couple of players, you know, I was talking with Jarek at Pittsburgh who played Rapid Strike, you know, hit three Mews in a row, you know, with, and they kind of, you know, they kind of said, hey, well, the, you know, Spirit Tomb Giacomo package, maybe it makes it at best like a 40-60. You're still unfavored against Mew type of thing. You know, even with that. So a lot of them just kind of opted not to even run any techs from Mew. But when you hit three Mews in a row, which, you know, maybe you will, maybe you won't, right? That's the regional roulette.
I mean, speaking of regional roulette, have you seen Francisco's run? Day two, he played against five loss boxes.
Oof.
You love that in his rapids.
Love to see that, yeah.
I mean, he came out round 10, lost to Lost Box Dragonite, tied the next one, and then beat a Lugia, and then beat Lugia. And then beat two of them in a row to make top eight.
Wow.
And end up winning the tournament against Michael Hunter playing Gardevoir in the finals. There was two Gardevoir decks in top eight. There was three Lost Box, a Lugia, a Lost Box Charizard. Charizard got its first top eight. And we'll talk about the regional in Latin America here soon. We had a lot of Charizard in that one. A lot of Charizard had a coming out party over the last 2 weeks. It's really going to impact the meta. What do you guys think about, you know, how Charizard's doing and that Lost Box Charizard list made top eight?
I think that, you know, I kind of joked about it not being a real deck, but, you know, like the theory behind it's very solid. And I think this guy played about as good of a list as you could make for the deck. You know, you cram early, your Charizard takes that knockout, you know, like, your Charizard attacks, you know, like you save a lie to clean it up. Yep. And, you know, it's like that, then it's a wrap. Like, how are you getting through two Charizards? Like, it's pretty tough. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very tough. I agree.
I think it's cool that it's run kind of like a closer to like a Sablezard list almost. With that, correct. I mean, right? It's still Zard. It's different. Right. It technically is a Sablezard list, but. Like the Charizard EX Lost Box is different, right? You know, you got like two Mirage Gates and like the two waters even. Like you can threaten Greninja, like you can technically pull it off, but like late game, you're not really, you know, Mirage Gating big attackers. You're either saying, okay, I'll use Sableye to clean up my Charizard EX from earlier, or hey, I have these Charizard EX sitting around, how are you gonna deal with them?
Yeah, I mean, so like Barcelona really didn't spice up the meta too much, and you know, locally, everyone's still kind of playing the same things. Nothing's really changing. Our local meta does have some Charizard in it, you know, so we've got some experience with that. We got some players who enjoy the deck and we get to play against it, which is nice. But when you look at, you know, Curitiba this weekend, top eight is riddled with Charizards. Mm-hmm. You got five of them in top eight. Looks like about half the meta in day two was Charizards. It took Latin America by storm.
Old Charizard.
I mean, looking at the winning list, you know, he's playing the Pidgeot, Entei-V, one Choice Belt, and two Lost Cities. So there was a group of like, looks like three or four players that kind of worked together and made came up with a list. And they chose two of them chose to go with Mawile and one didn't. Mm-hmm. But their stadium of choice was Lost City. Why do you think, you know, they chose Lost City as their stadium of choice for that deck?
Well, To me, the things that immediately come to mind is Lost Citying Zacian in Gardevoir, as it's probably your biggest threat.
Yeah.
Outside of that, I mean, maybe like Sableye or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe the Lost Box matchup is kind of tough, and they just want to Lost Zone a couple of attackers and put some pressure on, right?
Yeah.
You know, Lost Zone that Greninja immediately as soon as you can, you know, for your first attack, if you can.
Yeah.
I mean, the Mawile is there to try to help that Gardevoir matchup for the Greninja and, you know, fix some math and some other matchups.
Yeah.
They were also playing a copy of Penny.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like they're really respecting Lost Box there.
Respecting Lost Box and then, like, maybe even other Mawiles, because I do see that they do play Lumineon in the deck as well.
Oh,
and
true.
Manaphy, so like,
oh, yeah.
Could have been for that as well.
I think pick up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think Mawile is a card that, like, you don't need a tech four in cups, but, like, every regional, you should probably play at least some kind of out to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the kind of slept on thing here with the Mawile is just, you know, right, we think of it as the retreat lock, but there's also, like, the increased damage, which can be significant. Yeah. Especially for Charizard just being a deck, right? You know, out the gate, you're hitting for like 180. If your opponent takes one prize, you're hitting for 210. Okay, so how are you KOing a V-Star, things like that? You know, if you're able to go in like Tempting Trap, Giratina V-Star or something, you know, maybe they've only, right, your Charizard that normally be hitting for 210 is now hitting for 300, right? You know, right? You're like, it just helps that math and just gives you that extra. Again, the big thing with Charizard is how are you taking that first knockout?
Yeah.
Right? You can't KO an Arceus V. You know, you can't KO Lugia V, right? Like all those quick, easy parts, right? Choice Belt helps with that. And even I view the Mawile as a way to help it. I think it was interesting, right? Pedro Petrucci played 59 of the same 60 as everyone else, but like we said, he opted for an extra Lost City instead of that Mawile. So I think just really interesting choice. And I mean, if you're going to Peoria, I think you got to build this list and test into it and just make sure that you're comfortable against it, because I mean, this is the only list that's really seen any major success right now. I think Lost Zard is still viable. But this is going to be the way, right? Just some Force Seal Stone, some Vs to get that going. Just trying to play extra consistent.
Yeah, definitely don't sleep on Charizard. People have been sleeping on it some. And I think, you know, Latin America took advantage of that. And that group of players, you know, just looking at, I don't know about I didn't see the whole metal charts or anything, but looking at William's run, you know, he played 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Charizards throughout his run. And there's some others here, so you know, they could be Charizards as well. But you know, congratulations to William with that and his team for that list. I assume they worked together. You know, that top eight was just riddled with Charizards. We had a Arceus Umbreon sneak in there. I mean, how did this make it through all the Charizards? I mean, yeah, I guess like maybe Max just said, right? They don't have an out to KO them early. And they're playing Lucario V-Star. Why?
I don't know. Like, I find most games with Arceus next to Starbirthing, but
I mean, is it a KO? Is it like something in the Charizard? It's like, you know, 70 times each energy attached. You know, they accelerate 3. They're gonna have 5.
They'd have to have 5
is 350, right? So.
I mean,
you just punish them for like putting too much energy into play because they're not KOing you. So maybe they go like, you know, turn 2 evolve, turn 3 evolve, and put, you know, 6 energy into play. And then that's when Lucario's doing the math.
Maybe, yeah. Or like if they, you know, choose to attack with Arceus, like if I guess like these particular decks didn't play the Arceus, but like, you know, you go Arceus, you 1 Charizard, a double turbo, and like that's 5 energies right there, I guess. But I think, I mean, I don't really know. Like, the card's just solid. Like, it hits 240. So, like, double turbo hits 220, KOing, like, most Vs and stuff like that. But I don't know.
Yeah, I've been doing some little list research over here and just, like, looking at the kind of day 2 competitors and their lists, right? So, there was actually another Arcturus Umbreon that did make day 2 in
20th place.
Yeah, there too. But also when you look at Barcelona, there were 0 Arceus decks in day 2. Which that is, I mean, just kind of to say where Arceus has kind of fallen in the meta, I think that really speaks to it. To have an entire archetype missing type of thing. So maybe one of these reporting errors. So if you made day two in Barcelona, sorry we missed you, but just based off of what we have on Limitless so far, right, it seems to all be Norcius.
Yeah, I mean, NEIC was like all Arctina world was like Arctina, and now it's just like falling off because, you know, it doesn't have the power to like, and I think maybe like Charizard's kind of helped that, right? And like Charizard's saying, hey, Arctina, you're not doing nothing against me unless you're playing superior. You know, so interested to see that variant fall off a little bit. You know, I'm glad you pointed that out.
Yeah, and the other part I do want to point out just a little bit on the Rapid Strike propaganda. There were two Rapid Strike decks at 9th and 10th in I'm gonna say the name incorrectly. I didn't practice pronunciation like you did, Eric.
Oh, Curitiba? Curitiba?
Curitiba.
Curitiba.
But yeah, a 9th and 10th place Rapid Strike list. And anyone who is not sold on the power of Rapid Strike, definitely go watch the finals of the Barcelona special event.
Absolutely.
Just to see like Rapid Strike cooking on all cylinders.
Yeah.
Right. You know, the Gardevoir player ends their turn with two Curlias in play. And by the end of that, they're both gone with, you know, Yoga Loop, just double gunner. You know, I mean, just the power level of that deck and when it can, and again, seeing the true power of it and how well it can go when it goes, just getting set up.
So. Yeah. Getting set up for that deck's the hardest part, right? And its Lost Tina matchup isn't great. It can win that matchup, but I think that's kind of what keeps that deck in check a little bit. So, you know, we'll talk about it, you know, later when we go into our tier list for Peoria. But I think, you know, Lost Tina stocks are kind of up right now with Charizard being in the meta. And, you know, Rapid Strike making a comeback too. You know, so just something real quick to before we jump into our next topic. You know, Maddox's favorite deck, DTE Mew, you know, got top 20 at both regionals. You know, one regional, one special event, being Barcelona. So
yeah, it was top 16 at both. So we can put it comfortably in that bracket. It was, yeah.
Okay.
16th and 14th.
16th okay. and 14th. Yeah. Okay. And I think really just saying, hey, Judge Path is better now and people are cutting Spirit Tomb. Right. You know, surprisingly enough, the highest placing Mew lists in both tournaments was DTE Mew, not Fusion Mew, like we've been seeing for the most part lately. Mm-hmm. I think it's really just trying to say, you know, Judge Path is favorable. You know, Mew is one of those decks that says, hey, I'm more likely to attack for 220 turn two than you are.
Right.
And I'll deny you from getting set up. And when you can just play a lot of Judge and stick a path against, you know, even Charizard, you can win.
Yeah, that's what Arctina used to do, right? Judge Path 280 next turn. Right. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's the best variant of Judge Path now. Who knows? Because Maridon decks are starting to move away from it.
We shall see. I guess the question is how much you're respecting Mew going into Peoria.
Yep.
Maybe you're respecting Mew EX a little bit more than Fusion Mew right now.
True. Bench those mana fees. All right. Maddox, you want to lead us off in the next segment?
Of course, yeah. Real quick, you know, again, want to give a huge shout out to our sponsor, Nakama Anime Cafe and Bar. Again, just for supporting us and everything we do with the Beachport Court podcast. And the real big thing coming up is, again, like we talked about last week, the Nakama Con, right? Anime, gaming, Japanese culture con. Again, there's going to be vendors, a cosplay contest, video game tournaments, meet some of your favorite creators, and there will be the Battle of the Elite Four Pokemon Trading Card Challenge. So the Elite Four will be us three on the podcast plus mystery fourth guest, because the Elite Four is four and we are three. But most importantly, that's going to be November 4th and 5th in Orange Park, Florida. You're able to get your tickets. Again, we'll have the link in the description of the podcast and YouTube video, wherever you listen or watch, as well as on our link tree on our Twitter and link in the bio to check that out. And anyone listening that is trying to go, the day this comes out will be September 28th, I believe. And early bird pricing goes until September 30th. So if you're listening to this right now, right when it came out, then you are in luck because you can catch on the early bird pricing. Again, get in for a deal right now before, wait till later, right? Save money, you know in this economy. In this economy, save a few bucks because you're not going to want to miss out on Nakama Con. Anyways, make sure you're there. Thanks again to Nakama Anime Bar and Cafe for supporting.
Yeah, thanks, Maddox. So next we're going to talk about Peoria meta. We're going to share our tier list with you. We would love to have make this live with you, but to save time, we did make the list before this, and we'll just talk about our choices and why we have only one deck and the best deck in format. It was very difficult for us to choose what deck was in that best deck category. The categories that we kind of chose here was that everything, you know, above tier two could probably win the tournament. You know, because the meta is very diverse right now. It's actually in a really good place, I think. And everything below that, you know, probably has less of a shot to win it, but could still have a good performance. But we tried to think about just Peoria meta specifically instead of, you know, like any random tournament you want to go to today at your locals or whatever, what's the best deck. But so guys, the fish is back.
Fish is always back.
I kind of want to kick it off with a question that a lot of people are thinking, just asking the two Lost Box masters in the podcast, right?
Yeah.
So Lost Box Kyogre, hey, the bench damage is great hitting two for 250. but hey guys, Charizard cannot take bench damage because of its Terra feature or
that's
Terra
typing.
How does Kyogre beat Charizard?
I mean, you want to take a shot at first, Parker? I'll follow up.
I personally think that even with that, you know, denial of the Kyogre usage on the Charizards, if they're benching other things, like they're probably going to have Pidgeot and stuff, you just don't go for that type of stuff. You kind of finish the game with those. It also is still just Lost Box.
Yeah.
So, like, you can also just blitz their setup, and if you can, you know, turn to Sableye or, like, There's a lot of different ways to play the matchup, but like, yeah, I mean, turn two Sableye, you're probably like winning the game.
So, I mean, if you look at their list, right, I mean, as a Lost Box player, the one thing you want to do is kind of like map out your prizes. You know, how are you taking six? You know, versus them, they're going to want to go and get two Charmanders, a Manaphy, maybe Entei, maybe Pidgey. Right. And maybe they started Mew. If they start Mew, like, you're licking your chops because that's just one free prize. Mm-hmm. Because then they got a bench Manaphy too. So like one Sableye attack, like two Sableye attacks, that's two prizes right there. So you're already counting those two. If they set up Pidgeot and you can pull off the boss KO with Raikou, that's two more prizes. If they bench the Entei, you can Dragonite that. If they start attacking with the Entei, and you can always just like Dragonite Sableye into a Charizard, you know, and you can do Sableye first and then Dragonite next, you know, so that way they don't get the two free prizes. And interesting enough, if you get the turn two like set up, the only way they're KOing that is with Radiant Charizard and Entei V. So if you get the Dragonite going turn two, like they're in big trouble, and they have a tough time kind of, you know, KOing that Dragonite and dealing with it. So, you know, you're just looking at the prize mapping. It doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal. But yeah, I mean, ideally they get two Charizard set up and nothing else. It's going to be tough to deal with. And, you know, I think that's the route they're going to try to go. They also have a penny. So, right, if they do bench that Entei and we put any damage on it, they can just penny it up. And then goes all that damage. So you got to be careful with those types of things when you play that matchup. But, you know, just kind of map out the deck and, you know, figure out, you know, how you're taking the six prizes. And that's the first thing you do when you play, you know, Lost Box in any deck. And Kyogre just gives you, you know, when you look at the meta, you know, that it's going to be like, we got a lot of Lugia. Kyogre is so good in a Lugia. It's so good into Maridon. It's so good into Mew. Like, so with it being good into all those matchups, you're not really taking a bad matchup to anything except maybe Rapid Strike that sets up. And even Rapid Strike, if you get like turn three or turn four Kyogre, they're probably not winning either. So yeah, it's kind of why we chose that as the best deck. Looking at the tier one column, we had a lot of decks in this column. It was tough to put stuff in tier one and a half, wasn't it? Thank you.
Yeah.
It just feels like everything has a chance if it sets up.
It really does. It really does. Yeah.
Which, like, fortunately is a healthy spot for the meta to be in total.
Yeah.
And a lot of cards that we're seeing in these tier lists, right? You're seeing that little Mew EX. It's so easy to slap into any deck. Right. You know, some of the big archetypes here, right? You know, colorless Lugia can add a Mew EX and just gain a 280 attacker, copy lost impact, for example.
Yep.
Add Mew EX into Gardevoir, right? Just accelerate to it for free. It's even easier than to attack with it than any other deck. And even Maridon. You know, you get that a little extra consistency, a free retreat option, and you can attack with it. You can Flaffy Dynamotor to a Mew EX in case you didn't know that. So
I think
taking really just some of the already strongest archetypes and adding an even better support Pokemon to them.
Yeah, and it's like every deck now, like if you do play Lost Box, you gotta bench the Manaphy versus almost every deck. Lugia just goes turn two, Boss Greninja with no Manaphy on the field, Archeops Summoning Star to, you know, double turbo anything and copy your Greninja's attack and kill two Comfies. You know, you're having a bad time if you don't see that coming. Also, I mean, Chen Pao can play it, right? Like anything can play
it. Oh yeah. I mean, yeah, Chen Pao gets it too. I mean, yeah, Lugia, well, Parker, I know we were talking a little bit before when we were putting this together just about colorless and single strike. Both being in a really good spot right now for Lugia variants, you know, as our resident start fish attach pass master. How's yep. What do you think?
I mean, both are really strong. I say, like, obviously in this today meta, I think single strike's superior, but just the inclusion of Mew EX and then just throwing Snorlaxes at your opponent, like the colorless build, I think is like pretty mm-hmm. crazy. If I had to pick between the two, I think I'd probably go with the colorless build. Like if I was to play one for Peoria, just because even if you miss a turn two summoning star, you have an attacker with attaching one energy yep. and attaching a double turbo to a Snorlax, and you have a big beefy guy and active, and it's tough for a lot of decks to deal with, like even Lost Box, like especially.
Yeah, you can't Lost Mine it, right? You can't go Greninja and Lost Mine it. It's very unfortunate. Now, you hope those lists don't include Serena, right? They don't include Serena on that list. You just go Greninja Archeops, Sableye Archeops. You got no energy left rest of the game, and then I'll deal with everything else. You know how we get there. Colorless is. I played against it at NAIC. It's not fun. No matter what deck you're playing against it.
No matter what, yeah. That's tough.
I think with that, you know, you get a little extra space for not having to run urns and things, but you need more energy in order to keep it from there. I mean, do you view having Snorlax and like a bunch of energy in your hand as like consistency? Or is that, you know, more clogged? I mean, like, I guess if you had to pick between the two, which one would you say is more consistent?
As far as consistency goes, I'd say they're about the same. I played a little bit online today, and like actually using the Mew EX to draw was pretty nice. Mm-hmm. I can't lie. But as far as consistency, like I see a lot of the colorless lists now going four Aromas, four Ultra Ball, two Ness, two Great Ball, two Mesagoza.
Yeah.
Like some even two Burnets. So like I'd say it has a little bit of an edge in consistency, just not having to run the urns and all that stuff.
Yeah, like you said, you don't need turn two, you know, Summoning Star.
Right.
If you turn one attached to Snorlax with double turbo and you get Jet next turn, you can just Jet it up into the active and KO something.
Oh yeah.
You know, so that makes it really a strong choice. And you know, Lugia just has a good matchup into a lot of decks, you know. It's probably worst matchup that we haven't really talked about much here is Gardy. Gardy's going to suffer a little bit from Charizard, but I think Gardy-Charizard is still a 50-50 matchup. I don't think Charizard's favored. It's just a prize race. So who goes 2-2-2 first? You know, like you said, they're playing the Lost City to try and Lost Zone that Zacian, but some lists are playing two. You know, if they ever set up that board state of like Shining Arcana, Knockout Pidgeot for 300, you cannot boss KO the EX, because if you do, they just attach an energy and KO you for 330.
No.
So
Shining Arcana Guardi is like the new Evil Tall Amazing Rare, where it's like you can't ignore it.
Yeah.
Knock you out next turn.
So. Yeah, basically. No, you're actually right about that. We've got a couple minutes left here. Just running through anything else you guys want to highlight. I mean, we got Maridon with the Zapdos Hawlucha. I've been testing out that deck pretty hard. It's a great combo to pull off. It's very difficult to pull off, but it's good to be able to like have that just to make Lost Box bench the Manaphy and take up a bench spot is actually kind of powerful, even if you don't ever pull off the combo.
Yeah. I would even see a world where I run a Maridon deck and think that everyone knows about the combo, so I don't run the combo in my own deck, thinking that my opponent will have to respect that I'm running the combo. Like, I mean, like, you know, you could get in some little mind games there of just what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of other decks we have here in Tier 1. Red Fusion Mew, again, just one of those decks that is always has that turn 1 attack potential, and if you're not getting set up, then Fusion Mew will punish you and win the game before you can even do anything. Anything else? Chen Pao or Arceus or Palkia Charizard?
Yeah, I'm really high on Palkia Charizard. I've been testing that deck pretty hard. Again, I just like the turn two 260. Cool. Sounds good. You know, it sounds better than turn two 180. And it gives you the power of Greninja, you know, in a Charizard deck. And it's like, okay. Yeah, you know, so there's a lot of good points. But one thing I do want to point out here and give you guys an opportunity to earn some points towards the standings. You know, Maddox is up 5 points to two. We're not doing trivia this week. But, you know, as we're hopefully going to make it to our first regional to compete.
We're leaving a whole day early. We're leaving Thursday night. It's so unlikely that we can't figure out something to get there for.
So Saturday. we got 1 minute left here. Real quickly, predict who wins. Whoever gets it, if you get it right, you get 5 points. If your deck gets top eight, you get 2 points. If neither deck makes top eight, whoever has the best finish wins. Parker, you're behind in the standings, so you get to choose first.
So I'm picking the deck.
You're picking a deck that you think is going to win Peoria.
I got to go with my boy, which it just depends on if a top player plays it pretty much, but I'm going Lostina.
Lostina? Okay, go on Lostina. I like it. Maddox, what do you think?
I would not have picked Lostina, so you can have that one. I mean, like, again, if it gets rolling and the right player plays it, then it's going to do well. You know, I think it's still Lugia, right? Just, you know, there's going to be so many top players playing Lugia where it's going to be consistent.
Yeah.
Probably single strike, I think, is still maybe a little stronger variant. You get the right player running well with Lugia, going to be able to beat anything. Like, yes, Charizard's going to be bigger, but if, you know, how refined are those players playing those Charizard lists? I think we'll see.
Yep. And not that it matters because I'm not in the points, but my pick is Gardevoir Mew.
That's gonna do well.
Yeah, it's going to do well. But everyone, thanks. That's all the time we have today. Thank you for joining. As a reminder, subscribe, retweet, and follow the Beach Court Podcast on Twitter. You have a chance to win a hat like this. Drawings are open until next Thursday, October 5th, and we'll draw the winner on October 6th on our way to Peoria. Well, we'll be in Peoria. We'll draw it live. And post a tweet there.
Fantastic. Sure.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone. See you next time.
Yep. See you later.